This is The Dugout. Every Tuesday at 1 with Bump and Stacey. Inside access to the clubhouse from Shannon Dreher on Seattle Sports, the home of the Mariners.
You are listening to The Dugout. Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, Mariners Insider Shannon Dreher. Hey, Shannon, how's it going?
Oh, it's going just great. How are you guys doing?
Well, fantastic. I always love having a dugout episode on a Tuesday after a win, and this one was pretty spectacular. I'm going to be honest, I'd kind of lost faith. When you got to the eighth, bases loaded, you go up, Julio pops out, Haniger strikes out, and you just think, oh, God, that was it. That was their moment. They're not going to get that back. And then lo and behold, Mitch Garver has a walk-off. What was the energy like after this one?
Oh, it was fantastic. You know, it was funny. The night before, wasn't sleeping, and so did what you shouldn't do, and I got out the laptop, and I was watching some video things, and a video from 2022 popped up, and it was just a collection of all the walk-off wins that the Mariners had in 2022, and it just kept going on and on and on, and I had forgotten they had 13 that year. You know, that celebration that you saw last night, we saw it 13 times in 22. Last year, just 4 times. This is the second time. But I just thought, yeah, that's kind of been missing. That's kind of fun when that happens, and how improbable it was that they had 13 in 22. So it was kind of strange the next day, go to work, and all of a sudden dial up a walk-off win. So I think we know the formula now. Got to watch the video before the game. But, you know, guys are really happy for Mitch Garver. And Mitch Garver's his reaction was I think it said it all, just, you know, finally. And to have Bryce Miller come back out for that, he came running out of the clubhouse. I think he was in the training room when that happened. Just such a neat team win. And the fact that, you know, your big guys weren't able to get it done and somebody else was, that's always the hallmark of a team that's got the ability to do some things. And so for that to happen, and to see that last night and not have to waste just the stellar pitching performance, it was great. And then we'll go ahead and throw who that was against. It was against the team that came in with the best record in baseball. So you're checking boxes off. You know, there are things that need to get fixed, but they're beating the good teams too.
Shannon, I think we all watched the Mariners game and hope for the best. You want the arms to do their thing, the bats get going, and hopefully by, you know, the eighth, you feel like you got this thing wrapped up, but that wasn't the case. But a game like last night, I appreciate just the performances by both pitchers. How do you watch those games? Do you find yourself appreciating what you're seeing, or are you kind of just like, man, let's just get this win so my job is easier tonight?
No, the baseball fan usually, especially early in the season, and maybe as the end of the year is coming up and you've been through a lot, you might start kind of going in that direction. But there's something about a pitcher's stool. As much as we love offense, and as much as offense is, it always gets the spotlight, it seems, and it always gets the rewards. When you have two that are dealing like that and the game is going at the pace that the game is going at, you can have a real appreciation, I think, for both sides. But for me last night, it was more just a continuation of what we've seen for 2.5 weeks now. And is this really happening? Are these guys really continuing to take the ball and give up next to nothing? And so it was a lot of fun to watch. And I was really excited just for the series in particular. Okay, here's the test. There's the Braves. And they've had some problems. Some of their big bats have yet to heat up as well. But anytime you can have that caliber of team in your building and you know, it's, you say, well, you're throwing your best at them. Your best is all 5 of your starters right now. So it just doesn't even really seem to matter. For me, it was just a lot of fun and a lot of appreciation to see what they were doing, you know, especially Miller, because you know a little bit more about it. But, no, I'm all for a good pitcher's duel.
Speaking of pitchers dueling, when Emerson Hancock up here looking great, Brian Wu gets back, there's like a weird decision they have to make. It sounded like Mike Salk had talked to people earlier who don't see Wu coming out of the pen. Does that mean Emerson could? Is he sent down to AAA? What kind of scenarios do you see happening?
Now, Emerson isn't the type of arm that would really translate well out of the pen. He has done some great things since he has been up. It's been great to see him make some adjustments and really just not be intimidated by anything around him. I mean, this is kind of a big situation that he's in, just being in the big leagues and a team that's expected to contend. But also to have everybody around you doing what they're doing, that could make it that much tougher. He's doing just fine, which is awesome. But the stuff that he has wouldn't really play in the pen. And it's a situation where they wouldn't all of a sudden put anybody in the pen. They'd take some time to convert them if that's what they were going to do. And honestly, I don't see them doing that with Wu. And, you know, unless the thinking has changed in like the last 48 hours, I don't think that is the plan. It's Wu has a very, you hear about how special Bryce Miller's fastball is. Wu has a very special fastball as well. And that is, you know, you want to cultivate the talent as a starter for as long as you can. And if he can prove that he can be a starter and he's already off to a good start doing what he did last year, you let him do that. That's best for the player. It's best for the organization. So I think that, you know, I think what ultimately, and usually these decisions take care of themselves. I think we're hoping they don't. We really don't want to see a starter pitcher injury at this point. I think that Emerson probably goes back to he's the sixth guy. And unfortunately, if everybody's healthy, that will have to be in Tacoma. I'm a little curious to see if at any point, there was some talk about it a year ago and a year before that, if at any point they do go to a six-man rotation for a little while, just to take a little bit off of all of the starters and the way that they're putting up innings early. I don't think that I'm in favor of that for a period of time, not for an entire season, but I'm a big fan of it. It's something that the Astros did a couple of years ago, and that fared very well for them, especially if you take into consideration, look, the ultimate goal is to be pitching, not just, you know, through the season or a couple of days after the season, but for the better part of a month after the season. So I'd be curious to see if that is something they consider doing at some point. And obviously, Emerson would fit in beautifully into that situation.
Shannon, I might be wrong in this assessment. It's just kind of a feeling that I get. I look at this rotation and I go, all right, man, Castillo's got to catch it with the rest of the gang. You know, he's the number one guy, but that's the feeling that I get. I might be wrong when it comes to the numbers, but when we see Castillo on the mound tonight, is there anything specific you're going to be looking for that indicates that he's in a good place?
He's actually coming off three good starts. And the one that I don't think I will ever forget is a start in Colorado, in the cold, in the snow. And you could tell that it did not affect him for one moment, which I thought was impressive because it was absolutely miserable out there. But he pitched through it. Three starts ago, you could tell that he was getting back to what we had seen in the past. The Colorado start, the Texas start, he was on his game on both. And I think that the biggest problem with him in this season is once he got into the season, he didn't have the best command of his fastball or his slider. The fastball, he wasn't able to get to the top of the zone. That's something to look for him. If he is able to get the fastball to the top of the zone, get the swings and the misses on that, and he's going to have a lot of life. He's going to have good movement on the slider, but you want that thing moving out of the zone and not into the zone. And if you kind of watch Cal and where he's setting up, and if the ball is kind of finishing where Cal is setting up, then you're going to feel good about where he's at. His last three starts, he's had that. I've talked to him, and he himself has said he is much more comfortable with that, feels much better about where that is. So hopefully, and he has throughout his career had, you know, a handful of games here, a handful of games there. He said it was 10 one year. We'd really rather not do that, where it hasn't been there, but once he gets it, then he kind of takes off, and he pitches the way we're more accustomed to seeing him pitch. And hopefully, you know, his little kind of off streak was at the beginning and was just three games.
Hey, Shannon, we're going to speak with Mariners infield coach Perry Hill coming up here in just a couple minutes. It feels like this year was going to be kind of an interesting one for him. He's had such a great group, and we've marveled at what he's been able to do in the past, whether it's with Ty at first or Gino Suarez at third. The defense was going to be a story this year, and we kind of knew that. What have you seen from this group defensively? Where have you seen improvements, and where do you have question marks?
Well, they certainly have settled down from the first 10 days of the season. It was alarming, and that was in the infield and the outfield. And you're seeing, you know, just absolute turnaround. We are seeing really nice plays from Jorge Polanco, which after the first couple of weeks, I wasn't sure we were going to see. And we've seen him, you know, make some plays where he has to range. We've seen him a couple of over-the-shoulder catches. The arm looks good there, too. And third base is hanging in there, both with Rojas and with Arias. So, you know, when you look around the infield, do you see Gold Glovers right now? No, but they just have to make the plays. And you're seeing them make the plays, I think, a lot more with a lot more regularity than you did. And you're not scratching your head at how did that not get gotten as you did in the first 10 games. And it's important because starting pitching, part of their success is reliant on the defense making those plays behind them. And I think that that really contributed to what we did see the first 10 days of the season. But I think that, you know, with the work that they do and the adjustments that are made and the care on the detail that they take with it, I think that is something that can improve as the season goes on. And so I also think with the starting pitching doing what it's doing and how crisp they are and the tempo that they get into and the success that the team is having, I think that just puts an extra bounce in everybody's step in that infield. And I do think that it kind of, you see the defense kind of elevate with the pitching too, which is kind of fun to watch. But, you know, it's ongoing. It's been ongoing every year. That's, you know, Perry Hill is about the work that they do. You know, they don't really get days off on the work that they do. They're out there running infield drills just about every day out in the field. Maybe in a day game you won't see as much, but you will see something. And I think that that has been responsible for a lot of the success that we've seen the last few years. And even though the names that they brought in and the players that they brought in didn't have the track record and probably don't have the ceiling of some of the defenders that we've seen before, I think that we've seen in a very short amount of time that they can make the plays. And it's good to see because it was a huge concern over the offseason, and it was a concern that was made only worse what we saw early on. But I do think that you look at them right now and you're seeing a lot more solid defense behind the starting pitchers. And I think that you're starting to see it actually grow a little bit in some confidence and some plays being made as well.
She is Mariners insider Shannon Dreher, kind enough to join us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Thanks so much, Shannon.
Thanks, Shannon.
You got it, guys.
You are listening to The Dugout. Mariners infield coach Perry Hill joins us next to talk about this defense, where it has been and where it can go.
You're listening to The Dugout every Tuesday at 1 with Bumpin' Stacy on Seattle Sports, the home of the Mariners.
Welcome back to The Dugout every Tuesday, the last hour, 1 to 2. This is what we're doing right now. We are joined by the Mariners infield coach, Perry Hill. Coach, how are we doing today?
Doing just fine. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, man. It's always nice talking to you after a big win. Won a lot of runs scored last night, but what'd you make of that win? What'd you think of the pitching, the defense, all around, man? How would you grade that win last night?
Anytime you win, it's a five star. It's early the game didn't go our way in some areas. Bryce Miller was fantastic. He has been all year, and he kept us in the game, gave us a chance to win, and then of course the last inning, Mitch hits the big home run, and you know, that's why you play all nine, right? Everybody thought it was gloom and doom for eight innings, but you play nine, and so you never get up. You never know what's going to happen.
Where does that rank in some of the more surprising endings, though? Because I got to be honest, Coach, when it got to the eighth, bases loaded, you kind of have that moment where you think, like, oh, God. Like, as a fan, I'm watching going, oh, no, what if that was it? You don't get a lot of those moments in baseball.
Well, like I said before, that's never my mindset.
Right.
My mindset is we have one more inning to play. Let's hold them on defense and come in and give ourselves a chance to win. And that's exactly what happened.
Last night you had Bryce Miller all the way through the sixth, flirting with a no-hitter. And then there was a ball hit to shortstop. I believe it was Demo who couldn't make the play. It would have taken a great effort by Demo to make that play. Do you go back and watch film on that and say, okay, this is how I would approach that next time? Or do you just chalk it up and say, look, he made a play and we were close, just couldn't execute?
Well, I don't know about execute. I mean, he left his feet for the ball. I mean, he could have stayed on his feet and just let it pass on through. He did everything he could. Acuna hit the ball. He can run like the wind. I think he made a great effort, and it just just went off his glove, and that's just the way it happened. But you can't fault the effort, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Who defensively have you seen kind of develop the most? It doesn't have to be just this season. I know it's so early, but Bump, for instance, earlier had been talking about Julio and kind of loving what he's seen. Is there a name that comes to mind of like, God, I love the steps this guy's taken?
Josh Rojas at third base has played very well for us. And so has Luis Urias. So we lost Gino. But next guy up is the mentality, and those two have played very well at third base. I think they haven't surprised me, but I think there's some people around the Seattle area that are probably surprised. But they played very well at third base.
Coach, how often do you revisit just the fundamentals of playing defense? Obviously, I come from a football background, and we got one game a week. I would imagine just with the amount of games you play during the week, you got to be strategic with how you do that. Is that an everyday type of thing, or is it a once in a few days? Walk me through touching up on some things.
We do it every day. We do a ground ball routine that's anywhere from 13 to 15 minutes in length every single day before batting practice. And we address every fundamental, every possible play that could happen in a game. From regular ground balls to backhands to forehands to double plays, for slow rollers, infield in. We work on every single one of those every single day. And so we try to tweak some things if things aren't going the right way. But if everything's great, we just we use maintenance. You know, we're proactive, in other words.
How often do you adapt your approach to training? Have you kind of had like a tried and true formula for years and years and years? Do you take stock of it every single off season? Do you adjust over the course of a season? What's that look like for you?
Well, I've been kind of doing this a long time, and I kind of have like a program that I go by, but everybody's not alike. So sometimes you have to tweak and adjust things for certain players. But on the whole, to answer your question, is I have a standard format program that we use in spring training, and then a system or a program that we use to maintain fundamentals throughout the year during the season, like I just mentioned, every day before batting practice.
When you look at the Atlanta Braves, what challenges do you see? Obviously, they're a good ball club, have a good lineup. The pitching was fun to watch last night. I honestly enjoy those pitchers' duels, Coach. But when you read the scouting report on the Braves, what sticks out to you?
Just what you said. They're a good team. I mean, you look at that lineup. You know, there's guys hitting, you know, seventh or eighth that could hit three or four on some other teams. So, I mean, they're stacked. They're loaded. There's not one soft spot in that lineup. And you've got to pitch well. You got to defend well. And you got to score when you can. It's a very, very good club.
Hey, Coach, I know that you're in charge of the infield guys and you're overlooking defense and fielding and all kinds of great stuff. But obviously, you know what's going on with this team as a whole. And it is hard not to focus on how great the arms have been and how great the pitching has been. What kind of confidence does that give the other guys?
Oh, geez. Well, you know, that's a good point that you brought up. It's that they give us a chance to win every night, and they pitch so well. They hold the opposition in check. You know, they give us a chance every single night. And, you know, it's up to us to make plays and score runs. And it works hand in hand. But to answer your question, the pitching has been, starting pitching especially, has been outstanding. And the bullpen is, you know, has done equally as well. But Pete Woodworth has done a great job with the starting pitching. I mean, those guys have been lights out.
Coach, you've had some new additions to the ball club this year. Happens every year, right? But I would imagine that it's kind of fun to kind of work with new players and teach them your philosophy. How have the newer guys on the rosters acclimated to your teaching and how have they taken on some of the things that you've taught them?
Well, fine. They're great. They're all good guys. They're all hard workers. I'm not too popular in spring training sometimes because we push and push. and I'm a big advocate of the wall. I have a wall in Peoria that we throw the ball up against and work on our fundamentals, because you can do so much in such a small period of time. But they're all good workers. They all understand that, you know, we're working to be perfect, and, you know, that's not going to happen all the time. But the preparation and the work ethic and the attitude has been great.
He is Mariners infield coach Perry Hill, kind enough to join us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline for the Dugout. Thanks so much, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay, thanks for having me.
This Mariners Spotlight presented by Muckleshoot Casino Resort and by Pacific Lamp and Supply. Wyman and Bob coming up after the Dugout, by the way, and they're going to be talking with Mitch Garver today. I wonder how that bat flip that he had, the little toss into the air and the drop, it wasn't even a bat flip. It was like a,
you know, it was like when I've been slicing my drive all day and I finally hit the fairway. Like, finally.
Oh, God.
Goodness, I felt
finally
him on that.
Happened.
I felt the first walk-off home run of his career, too. So good for Mitch. I was so hyped, man. I felt so bad I sent my kids to sleep before that, because I thought it was over. They were so mad at me.
I loved
morning.
All me, you, and Curtis all on a thread just going, never in doubt. Never in doubt.
Nope.
Just ignore the previous messages of us going, oh, no, what's happening? Is this a no-hitter? Is this what we're going to see? And then lo and behold, you have an amazing comeback win, an amazing ninth-inning rally. And two, you know, we talk so much about Mitch Garver, Jorge Polanco getting on base when we had just talked about, you know, him kind of, well, his walks have been fine, but, you know, wanting to see him just get on base more and get more involved. And it was a perfect end to what was a tumultuous game for a while there. And I can't wait to see, you know, what happens in the rest of this series. Because you're right, Bump. I don't think we see that version of the Braves that struggles that much offensively again. So can the Mariners offense step up in return? Let's ask Mariners broadcaster Gary Hill. He joins us next.
You're listening to The Dugout every Tuesday at 1 with Bump and Stacy on Seattle Sports, the home of the Mariners.
Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, it's Mariners broadcaster Gary Hill. Hey, Gary, how's it feel coming off a win?
Oh, it feels great. And what a win that was. That was an instant classic, I thought. That was a great game.
It was
How are you
truly
doing?
Phenomenal. We're doing amazing. I always love having the Dugout after they've won, because then you just get a focus on the win and everything that was fun, instead of being like, so the Mariners, no hit through eight, and then you don't get the offense you needed. I will be honest, though, and I said this to Coach Perry Hill when he joined us, I really felt that moment in the eighth was their moment. Because, you know, in baseball, you don't always have, like, it's not every inning that you're going to have a moment to get something done. In theory, you do. You get your batters to the plate, you get a chance to hit. But, like, that just felt like, oh, this is it. And then you know that feeling as a fan of baseball, as an analyst, as a broadcaster, when you worry that that opportunity has slipped through your fingers. And I felt, and I worried that that was it last night. Lo and behold, the ninth inning comes up. Just talk about the emotion, the feeling that you had watching that.
Well, you were not alone. And in the reality is, in baseball, like, when you are facing a really good team like Atlanta, they have a really good back end of the bullpen. And to your point, you only get so many chances against really good bullpens, right? You can't count on a lot of opportunities. And when you have the opportunities, you've got to take it. And unfortunately, they didn't in the eighth inning. The ninth, man, I that bat flip of Garver, I think, said it all. I think for everybody, the sense of relief that washed over his face, it felt like, when he flipped the bat, and just the outpouring of emotions, and what was a really great game. I know, like, it's tough when you're cheering for a team and they have some chances and they don't score, but I thought Fried was amazing. I thought Miller was amazing. Those two guys going toe-to-toe was a real pleasure to watch. They were both great. So it was a great ball game, and it finished perfectly. That thing was an absolute tank. And just moments like that where you kind of ride the roller coaster a little bit and it gets finished off in that way, man, that is just unmatched to me. It's why, one of the reasons I love this game so much, nights like last night.
Hey, Gary, as usual, go Cougs. And I was just out there last week to let you know the Palouse is still palousing, in case you're wondering.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
Yes.
Man, were you surprised with Miller's approach. Obviously, it's Miller and it's Cal, right? Cal is calling the pitches, but they just went after this lineup with straight fastballs and said, look, try to catch up to this. Go ahead and catch it if you can. I was surprised because I feel like most guys are waiting for that fastball so they can try to square it up and take it where it needs to go. Were you surprised with the approach last night?
Man, you know, the plate appearance that really stood out to me was when he blew three fastballs by Acuna. Yeah. And it's like, whoa, this is something. You know, I talked to Bryce Miller about this because, as we know, you know, going back to the offseason, like, his whole goal this year was to figure out how to get lefties, right? That's been the story. Like, he dominated righties last year. Lefties, they hit him last year. So it was trying to figure out, okay, what can I do against lefties? He essentially had two pitches to work against lefties last year. And this year, the splitter, everything else, he's got more weapons to offer against lefties. What was interesting in the conversation with Bryce is he felt like with his new arsenal that his fastball would actually play up. Like, his fastball, his best weapon last year, would actually be even better this year. Because if you're a hitter now, you can't sit on the fastball. You can't just, that's his only weapon. Because he's got more weapons, and he showed them off last night. The sweeper, the splitter were both good. But it was primarily fastball last night. And, you know, it is so funny in this game because we talk about velocity a lot. And we see big fastballs in this game. And, you know, Bryce Miller's fastball doesn't jump off the page. But guys swing at it. The swings he gets, the swings and misses he gets, it's like it's 110 miles per hour. They just don't see it. And there's a lot that goes into that, but it is an incredible fastball. It's a great weapon, and it's made even better by everything else he's doing, which is pretty scary. He has really elevated himself. He has had one of the best months in the American League. He's been so good.
Hey, when you look at the arms that they've been able to get together with Logan, with Bryce, with Luis Castillo, with George Kirby, Emerson, Brian Wu, a question that a listener sent earlier, I'm going to throw your way, Gary. They said, is this like a great coaching staff and development? Is it great drafting? I mean, is this just a rare collection of talent? To what do you attribute the ability to get so many like number one guys together?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think to do what they're doing right now, it's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. There's been different paths for each guy. You know, Castillo, they traded for, and they've made him better. You know, Gilbert and Kirby and Wu, I mean, they're homegrown guys. They're obviously drafting really well. And yeah, it's not coincidence that this is all happening. And they're really good at turning a dial on whatever a guy does. They accentuate what he does really well, but they're also able to make them better. And I think you have to credit the types of players they're drafting, if that makes sense, because there's a real want to with Gilbert and with Miller. Because I look at those guys specifically because they were good pitchers when they got to the majors, right? And they could have just been the way they were and been fine and been successful. But they both have a huge want to get better. And Kirby's the same thing, where they're always adjusting and tinkering and changing. Like, Gilbert is nowhere close to the pitcher he was when he first came up, who was heavy fastball and not much else. He's retooled his entire arsenal. And this is the result that we're seeing. He's one of the best pitchers in the American League. So it's a really great question. It's a great story because I think it's a tribute to the players themselves that are doing a lot of the work, but also the organization, because we see the same thing in the bullpen too. And Gabe Spire, to me, is one of the truly great stories for the Mariners, a guy who was up and down with Kansas City and struggling to find his way, and now he's truly one of the best left-handed relievers in the game. And whether you're talking rotation or talking bullpen, it's not a coincidence that all this is happening.
Gary, we had a nice conversation earlier in the show with the listeners about just Julio and who he is to this team. I think Stacy and I have settled on he's a star, and you need him to play like a star. Other fans had opinions that maybe he's not that. They might have paid him too early. And then we went back and looked at his numbers in April and say this is typically who he's been in April. He's going to get things together. Even though I don't feel like he's having a horrible season. Let me make that clear with you, Gary. You know, where is Julio right now, in your opinion, and what will get him rolling once again?
Yeah, we've seen similar starts to this with Julio, right? And I think Julio is an absolute star. I mean, you're talking about a guy that was top five MVP last year in a season that he wasn't entirely thrilled with. And when we see he gets hot, he gets red hot, ridiculously hot. And for this team to reach their potential, Julio has to be Julio. You know, I thought he was entering one of those hot streaks because generally when you start to see him really start to put up the exit velos, even when it's on the ground, all it takes is, okay, just start lifting it and it's going to come. It's all going to happen. And then he hit the home run and I thought it was on the way because he was hitting a lot of balls on the ground, but a lot of balls hard, but they were just on the ground. So I felt like it was here. I felt like it was going to happen. I still feel like that. It's so funny because I feel with Julio, much like the Mariners, that things can turn on a dime, right? And for all I know, Julio could hit three home runs tonight. It's really that kind of thing with Julio. I think what's really great about this stretch that they're on, and the pitching obviously has been absurd. The offense, they're still searching for it. They've really only had, you know, Cal Raleigh's had a really good start to the season. Josh Rojas has had a good start to the season. They have a lot of guys searching for it. And the fact they're still where they are, still winning games, I think is incredibly encouraging. And something that I was thinking about today that we haven't talked much about, because I feel like in baseball, schedule is important, but it's harder to talk about because there's so many games. But generally, teams, you want to hold your own against teams above 500 and really take apart the teams below 500. Well, there's only one team this year that's played more games against teams above 500 than the Mariners. They have had a really tough schedule. It was a tough schedule going in. It was made even more difficult because Cleveland and Boston have been better than we thought. Schedule gets a little softer too next month. I think we'll see the offense perk up and be better next month. And I think Julio's going to have a nice month as well.
You know,
long story short.
Well, no, I was going to say, you almost answered my last question for you, which is I saw someone the other day tweet, you know, God, the Mariners, when you think about it, yeah, the offense has not been great on paper at all. And that's, any club would say that's inexcusable. The players themselves would say we need to be better. Scott Servais said we need our offense to catch up. But you played the defending World Series champs, the defending National League champs, best team in baseball. I mean, do you put a ton of weight on that? Or do you – basically what I'm asking is, how much weight do you give to the schedule and how much weight do you give to any real concern you have about offense?
I always give a lot of weight to the schedule because okay. I always feel like – you know, I think it's hard because we watch the Mariners every day and we're so Mariners focused. And I think sometimes it's easy to lose sight, like, hey, there's a team on the other side there. They have really good players too. And when you talk about Atlanta, for example, they have great players. That is a great team on the other side. And the Mariners have a chance to take the series. You look at the beginning of the season and like Boston, for example, their rotation has been so much better than we expected. And it wasn't just the Mariners. It's been through the course of the month. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, the first month in a baseball season, because you don't know exactly what you're looking at, especially with opposition. But I there's a lot to that. There's a lot to who you're playing, when you're playing them. There's some luck involved there. Like, unfortunately, you know, Bieber's gone down. The Mariners had to face him. No one else that will play Cleveland will have to face him the rest of the way. So that stuff matters. It matters who you play and your schedule. So I think it's a big deal.
He is Mariners broadcaster Gary Hill, kind enough to join us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline for The Dugout. Thanks so much, Gary. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Gary.
Anytime, especially after a win like that.
I know.
Let's schedule that more.
Yeah, let's plan. Let's plan. We have Gary after walk-off home runs only.
Yeah, get Curtis on that.
Okay, we will. We will do that. Thanks so much, Gary.
Noted.
All right, Curtis, you know the rule now for The Dugout. Every time there's a walk-off home run, we have to get Gary on so that Gary always gets to react to it, okay? New rule moving forward. Let's hope every Monday there's a walk-off home run. That would be pretty cool.
I'd be down for that, but I mean, I to have it happen every single week.
It's almost exhausting. You'd start just hoping for not walk-off home runs.
Well, they're on a road trip next Tuesday, so we can't have a walk-off in that situation.
Very true, but we can have a top-of-the-ninth home run.
Okay.
We'll count.
We'll extend that, too.
Mariners pitching has been absolutely incredible, so what do you do about Brian Woo's impending return? That's next on The Dugout.
You're listening to The Dugout every Tuesday at 1 with Bump and Stacy on Seattle Sports, the home of the Mariners.
You are listening to The Dugout. Final 10 minutes with you before we send you to Wyman and Bob. They've got Mitch Garver coming up today, by the way. Mariners pitching has been absolutely incredible. Over the last 17 straight starts, Mariners starters have allowed two or fewer earned runs. It's an unreal stretch of performance. Making things interesting, though, Bump, is that starter Brian Wu is nearing a return from a rehab assignment for elbow inflammation. Well, now, wait a minute. What do you do? Because Emerson Hancock, his last three starts have all been quality starts. He's gone at least six innings in each of those and allowed two or fewer runs. So you've got someone who's been part of this great stretch of baseball and great stretch of pitching who could get sent down to AAA when someone else comes back. Brian Wu is also not struggling in his rehab outings. He's allowed just two hits, no walks, no runs, over six and a third. So what do you do?
Six-man rotation. No, I'm just playing. You want that. You want to see Logan as many times as you can. You want to see Miller, Castillo, the whole squad. What do you do? I'm not opposed to him moving to the bullpen just to keep him around, to keep him around this environment, to keep him, in the mix mentally and getting reps, because he's still developing, believe it or not. He's not a finished product. Miller's still developing. Gilbert's still developing. Kirby's still developing. I think Castillo is who he is at this point of his career. But the majority of these guys are still trying new things and putting themselves in situations more often so they can get familiar with those situations and understand how to handle them. Cal has been doing a great job with all these dudes. I'm not opposed to that. Just will they do it? I don't know. I don't know if they would do that. But me personally, I'm keeping with the team. Keep him with the squad.
Jeff Passan told Brock and Salk he would not only like to see relievers go longer in general. I'll play that sound in a second. But that he has an idea for what should happen with Hancock when Brian Wu does return soon.
I think the discussion is, do you send Hancock down and let him, remain stretched out and throwing innings? Or do you explore the possibility of keeping Emerson Hancock up as a three-plus inning reliever who, if need be, you could stretch right back out, but a guy who can, if not allow you to save your bullpen, then certainly pitch like productive leverage innings.
So many different answers so far. One listener says, you let Wu develop in AAA, use him as injury or underperformance insurance. No need to rush him back. Another listener says, no, put Wu in the pen. It's a good problem to have, but it is still a problem and an issue that the Mariners need to figure out.
Yeah, it is. The only problem with AAA to me is that it can be fool's gold sometimes. You could be down there and be dominating on the mound or even in the batter's box, and you feel like, all right, you got it all figured out. A lot of times guys make the move to the bigs, and they're fine. Mm-hmm. Some other times it takes a little going back and forth to kind of really figure out who you are. That's my only issue with Wu going back to AAA is that if he does what he's supposed to do, he's going to go down there, he's going to dominate and maybe get away with some pitches that if he stays down there, get away with some pitches that, you're not going to get away with up here. And we've seen him at this level, and he's had some success. It's a very cautious move and plan that you're dealing with here, because the worst thing you want to do is stunt growth and stunt development.
Yeah.
But that's a good problem to have. That means you got a whole bunch of options, man. So I'm not sure. I would keep him around, though. That would be my – what's your move? What would you do?
I totally co-signed Jeff Passan's idea of, like, well, why don't you send Emerson Hancock to the bullpen? And the reason that I was initially down for this is not only does it allow him to still face big league bats, even if he's coming out of the pen. And, look, if I'm a starter, if I'm drafted thinking I'm going to be a starter, I don't want to go to the pen. However, it allows you to see a caliber of player that you aren't going to see in AAA, even if you are rotating starts there. But I also love the idea of just what he thinks a successful bullpen can look like.
I understand the Mariners' bullpen has been extraordinarily good so far, but I love the idea of the long reliever who's not a mop-up reliever. It's just a dude who can go out and shove and do so in wins. So you don't have to go the traditional, you know, seventh inning setup guy closer every time you get a good start.
It's like making your rotation deeper without necessarily adding a ton of arms. When you have that guy that's not just in there because your starter's, you know, out in the fourth and he's got to just kind of like, you know, fall on the sword, a guy who can really stretch out innings out of the bullpen, well, then it's more rest for Stanek. It's more rest for all of these guys. And I was concerned about bullpen health heading into the season, knowing that Brash isn't coming back. Well, I shouldn't say that. Knowing that Brash has had some kind of setback. Mm-hmm. Knowing that we're waiting on Santos. Great. Buy the other guys in the bullpen even more time. But I'm kind of stumped as to why Mike Salk seems to think that that isn't something the team wants to do.
I would explore all options at this point. And the bullpen's been holding it down. I mean, you find Stanek during spring training, and I didn't know who he was and what he brought to the table, but now I know he will throw them double digits and will compete his you-know-what off. Salcedo was a guy I'm looking to see what his development is going to be like. He put on some weight. My man looks strong. And Inspire's been consistent the last, season or so. I'm all for preserving those arms because you're going to need them. You're going to need them to come up or come in the game, throw some gas, and just be ready to go. So, hey, I'm up for anything. I just think keeping him here is the best move. If that means he goes to the bullpen, then you go ahead and do that. And just keep him around. That's my vote. Keep him around. So that means putting him in the pen. You put him in the pen. You insert Wu in the rotation. You can always flip flop or do a move after that if it's not working out the way you want it to.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. Again, a good problem to have, but still a curious one. We only have a couple of minutes left here. Let's go ahead and make some fun predictions for the rest of this series. Curtis, I'll go ahead and include you here, and we'll go kind of like a little bit of a round table for a minute. We're all going to pick our next home run. It's almost like a pick to click with Rick. Our version of
We're
picking before they are. We're getting our say first, Bump. Why don't you lead us off? Who's getting a home run tonight?
Tonight, waiting for tonight, as J-Lo once said. I'm going to go with, you know what?
And we can't choose whoever the person chooses off the table.
I'm going with the croissants.
Ty France?
Croissant. Why not?
Who's the croissant?
Croissant. I'm going Ty France.
Okay, you just left Julio up like
that. Yeah, that's an easy one.
Okay, sure. Julio. Curtis, who do you have?
You said Waiting for Tonight was by J-Lo.
Yeah.
The person who's hitting a home run tonight is J-Po, Jorge Polanco.
Oh, that's who I was going to
Let's go.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to say Julio gets back into it. Looking for home run number two. I just feel like once he turns it on and once the season starts to pick up for him, it looks so promising. And I know that he really heats up late in the season. He certainly did last August. So it's still early and far too early to be worried about anything. But he just looked so relieved with that home run against Texas, running around, hugging the trident. And I want a hugging of the trident moment for Julio today. I want him to hoist the Mariners' home run trident and just know that there are many more to come. So I'm going to go with Julio. So we went Ty, we went Jorge, and we went Julio for home runs tonight. All right, you guys, this has been The Dugout. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming up next.